center ourselves. This morning is a morning in which we remember our own baptisms as we come for a time of confirmation. And so this morning, welcome home, children of God. And for all of you who are hoping to find a church home, this is a wonderful place of fellowship, of worship, of study, of service. And if you are not yet connected to a community of faith, or if you are and you feel that God is perhaps leading you in a different direction, I highly recommend Eastminster Presbyterian Church. And if you'd like to know anything more about the church, whether it's our theology, whether it's our mission, our outreach, education, any of those things, grab me. Just grab onto me and we'll set up a time where you can come and we can sit and visit. And I will tell you, anyone else sitting out here can also fill you in on all that we do. I ask that you take a moment to look in the bulletin, all of the activities that are still ongoing and those that are to be in the future. Continue to mark those on your calendar. But more particularly today, I want you to remember that we have, following worship, a potluck lunch. At that time, we will be hearing from Lily Pappas and Daniel Pappas about their mission and service activities to Peru and to India, and it should be wonderful. So please come and listen to them. We will, during the service, like I said, confirm Mason Gonzalez, and we'll learn a little bit more about that in a moment. And we have a couple of young ladies who will receive their third grade Bibles, and so it's our joy to have little ones still in our midst. But I think that perhaps we would be remiss if we did not just simply stop this morning and offer our words of prayer, our words of support, what I imagine will be in the near future, our hands and our feet to help our brothers and sisters who are experiencing just a horrible natural disaster. And I want to ask, are there those of you in the congregation who have families who are in those areas? Lots of families. Okay. Particularly for your families, and at a time during this prayer, I will stop. And if you all together simply want to shout out your family names, or if you just want to say, "Watch over my family and friends, Lord," whatever you wish to do, we will do that. But I think this morning, our collective prayers, I believe the Spirit will take those and send those where they are most needed. So let us begin and prepare for worship with a prayer. Gracious God, the gift of water is something we never, ever want to take for granted. It is good. It is healthy. It sustains life. And for that, we are grateful. But also, God, we know right now that water is not only not the friend of so many, it is actually doing harm. And so, God, I pray that at this moment when there really is nothing, at least from this congregation right now in this moment, that we can do other than send our prayers on the Spirit's wings, I pray that you will carry those, and that within the hearts of those who need the comfort most, that you will settle it there. Lord, I ask now that you hear the prayers either of our lips or the prayers of our hearts as we ask for your presence with them. And I began, God, by asking your presence with my brother Jimmy and my sister-in-law Sharon and my niece Kristen. Lord, even as we pray this week that you would make us your instruments of peace, we ask that you will make us your instruments in whatever way you need us to be in order to help those that we know and, Lord, so many that we don't know. But we know that they are your children and you've asked us to care for your children. Let this be our prayer today and in the coming week. Amen. Let us worship God.
Thank you. the God of our ancestors, calls us today. The God of our children calls to us today.
May we work for justice and peace to build up the kingdom of God on earth.
Jesus, the Son of the living God, calls to us, the church, his body now. Yes, there are times when our actions and our words seem to be more conformed to the values of this age than doing God's will. In our confessing, may our hearts and our minds be transformed. Join me as we pray.
Forgive us.
Praise be to God who in Jesus Christ forgives us, who commissions us, and then after commissioning us, provides for us, who gives us a holy task, and then resources so that we can perform those ministries. Thanks be to God. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us the Bible to help teach us how to love you and to love others. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalm 124. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our joy comes from the heart of God, who transforms us into open-handed givers of hope. Blessed be the Lord our God.
Come, my fault,
Lord, with me. Alleluia, praise the Lord.
The New Testament lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, and we are reading the first two verses this morning. Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but this Amen. I'm going to invite not only our young disciples and our third graders, I'm going to also ask our teens if they will come down with us. Okay. How are we this morning?
Good.
Did you hear the prayer that Mr. Bruce prayed this morning? He said, "Thank you, Lord, for giving us the Bible so that we can learn to love God more and learn to love each other more." It's that simple and sometimes that hard. This book is a Bible, and it's full of all kinds of stories. We know that, don't we?
It's about God's life.
It is. And I will tell you that from the time you start reading, when you go from the first page to the last page, I can promise you there's one story that will not change. And that story is God loves us. God loves you and you and you and you. And so, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, when you are in need of a good story to tell your children, pick this book up. And you know me, I love children's books, but I tell you, you can't beat this one. Pick it up and read it to them. And this morning, we are going to ask, I'm going to ask Mary and Miss Abigail if you will come up here. And can you guys come and stand right here with me? Okay. This morning, these young ladies are receiving their very own Bible. And this comes not from me. It comes from, look at all those people. This Bible comes from them. And Abigail and Mary, what I want you to do is I want you to take it home. I want you to put it in a really special place. And I want you to read it. How about that? Can you do that? Okay. I want you to read it. And every time you read it, I want you to remember that not only does God love you, but look out there. And everybody say, "We love you."
We love you.
We do love you. And so, teenagers, look at these little ones. And look at this little one. It's not just mom and dad and grandma and grandparents and great-grandparents that need to read with them. It's you. You all have come to an age in your faith where you have great things to share. And so share it with them. Okay? Let's pray. God, we give you thanksgiving for the gift of this incredibly wonderful book, the stories of which remind us how much we are loved. And I ask God, particularly this morning, that for Abigail and for Mary, as they go through this new third grade year, that for all of the things that they encounter, that the one thing they will never, ever forget is that they have a book right within their reach where they can read and remember how precious they are to you. Thank you, God, for them, for their families, and for their church family here at Eastminster. Amen. several years ago at Synod Youth Workshop, we asked a young lady if she would share her gift of dance, in particular ballet. And so we began the Friday Night Communion worship service with the song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, "Be Still and Know That I Am God." I would like you, if you wish, to close your eyes for just a moment, and I want you to envision, and it can be any person that you want it to be, but envision a dancer who is doing reverent movement to these particular words. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine. Bow before the Prince of Peace and let the noise and all the clamor cease. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am faithful. And consider all the things that I have done. Stand in awe and be amazed. And know that I will never change. Be still. Be speechless. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am your maker. Come rest your head upon my chest and listen to the rhythm of my unfailing heart of love, beating for my little ones, calling each of you to come. Be still. Be still. Be speechless. To this day, that remains perhaps one of the most powerful experiences of me feeling like the Spirit was filling up my entire soul. It is prayer. It is, albeit another form of prayer, but it is prayer. It is prayer using our bodies. And today, Paul urges the Christians to offer their bodies as living sacrifices. He's prodding them to dance, if you will, to dance their prayers beyond words, beyond movement, beyond sound, to dance their words into action. And to do that with your whole entire being, to turn yourself inside out so that not just your physical bodies are in prayer, but the corporate body that we call the church, all of us are doing this incredibly wonderful dance of prayer. He pleads with us to put our whole entire selves into this relationship with God and with one another. And he says, you know what? Being an intellectual Christian just isn't gonna cut it anymore. You can know all the scripture. You can know all of the book of order. You can know all of the book of confessions. But if you are not living out the story that those words say, it's just not cutting it. Paul says our response has to be participatory. It cannot be passive. And he says that when we are filled with that kind of eagerness to let the scripture come alive in us, that's when our lives become holy. They begin to live and be acceptable to God. There's this thing about sacrificing, though. Paul says we need to sacrifice our body. And I don't know about you, but when I think of sacrificing, I think of fire. I think of not living. I actually think of dying. And Paul says, well, yeah, that really is kind of it. But it is a dying to ourselves and a living new in the life of Christ. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And he says, when you die to self and you live in Christ, then Christ can more powerfully than ever work through you, drawing you into a deeper unity, not only with God, but into a deeper unity as a community, as the body of Christ, the church. Paul's also realistic about evil. He reminds the Christian church that there's absolutely no hierarchy in the church. Paul puts himself right in the middle of this gathering of new Christians, and he says, we're in this together, and I am here, right here, in the middle of you, standing with you, working right beside you. We can't be above one another. We have to walk side by side. He said that is when no one has to live in despair. That's when everyone can have hope. When we come together in prayer, in unity, as the one body of Christ. We talk about our bodies being like vessels, those that are set aside, they're consecrated, they are made holy. And you and I know this, they're not made holy by anything that we do. I can fill this vessel with all kinds of good deeds. And that's good, that's okay. You can do the same thing. But what is holy and what is pleasing to God is that God already put those inside of us and we respond by using them. They're already there, our gifts. And when we use them, it pleases God. We are not working up to perfection. We all know that's not part of the plan. We are working toward a perfection in Christ that will come when God is ready for that. Have any of you ever been in a work situation where you go in and you do something and you give it your best and your coworker goes, nah, that's not good enough. And so you say, okay, well, let me do it your way. And lo and behold, you do it their way. And they go, it was better the other way. You know, you just can't win for losing. Displeasing. The wonderful, incredible thing about God is that we have already displeased God. We walked away from the best world. We walked away from a garden. But we don't have to prove ourselves. God says, in spite of how disappointed I am in you, I still love you. And I don't know about you, but that just gives me a lot of freedom. When I have the freedom to be who I am, warts and all, knowing that God loves me no matter what, it changes my whole demeanor. And I think that's true for each and every one of us. You take that and you multiply it over and over again, and what you have is the freedom that God gives us to be in relationship with Him, already accepted, already loved, already set apart, already holy. And we don't have to spend a lot of time proving ourselves.
what we have to do is spend a lot of time giving thanksgiving to God for those things that He has given us. It is a transformation from the inside out. There was a little boy who was trying to open up a flower bud one day, and he was just making a mess out of it. And he looked at his mom and he said, "Mom, why is it that when I try to open up this flower, it looks ugly? But when God opens it, it's beautiful." The mother was going, "Oh boy, how do I answer this?" And before she could say anything, the little boy says, "Oh, I know. When God opens the flower, God opens it from the inside out." We are who God made us to be. And we have the freedom for God to open us up and let that beauty shine. Conformed means to be forced into a mold that the world wants us to be in, or a group identity that we are supposed to have. To be transformed is to be opened from the inside out, and when that happens, the result is dramatic. It's beautiful. It's awe. When we are opened by the Spirit of God from the inside out, we can be who we were uniquely created to be. Even in our churches, though, you all know this. There are all of those little subtle kinds of things that come and push us and move us and try to make us conform to the world. Sometimes there's this notion, if we were a bigger church with a bigger building, if we had more money, if we had more members, that somehow that makes us more holy and more acceptable. And when we buy into that, and I'm not saying mega churches are not wonderful, and I'm not saying membership is not wonderful, and I'm not saying money is not wonderful, but if we buy into that and that only, we run the risk of losing our priorities. Why are we, the church, uniquely created to be who God wants us to be? Paul reminds the Romans that as communities, as bodies of Christ, we were created to encourage and to hold each other in hope, so that when one of us is struggling, we can struggle together. When one of us is rejoicing, we can rejoice together. And again, I pray that the Spirit takes those prayers this morning and sends them flying, because we need to be the community. And more and more and more every day, we need to be the body of Christ for one another. When we do that, that power within us that comes from God's Spirit is so strong that the world can't take it down. Can't take it down. I was watching the Today Show on Wednesday morning, and the science guy was on there. I forget his name. It's not Bill Nye the Science Guy from from Big Bang, but the science guy was on there. And he was doing experiments. And one of the experiments, and I honestly don't know why he was doing, because I missed the introduction, but one of them, he took a balloon and blew it, and the typical, you know, tie it off with a knot and shape it into a dog. He took a pin, he pricked it, the doggy was gone. Yeah, oh. He forced it into a shape. And then he took a balloon that was shaped like a dog, and he blew air into it,
And what happened? The dog became more of what the dog was created to be already. He took a pen and he pricked it, and the dog went. I took away from that silly, simple science experiment on TV, a sign from God that I needed to be watching it that day, that we're already created in the shape that God wants us to be. And the Spirit comes, and when the Spirit fills us more into the people that we are to be, even when the world pricks us, even when we become a little bit deflated, we are still who God wants us to be. We don't need someone twisting and turning and making us into something that is not what we were meant to be. When we are transformed with our heart, Paul says we have to transform our minds also, and that transformation is intentional. That transformation comes from personal prayer. It comes from personal devotionals. It comes from corporate worship. It comes from Bible study together. We can't live the Word of God if we don't know the Word of God. We're starting Rally Day today. We have a unique opportunity to do more and more and more Bible study if we want our minds renewed. And I pray that we will begin to give that serious thought and prayer. God wants us to know His will. That's a good place to start. When somebody already wants you to know something, that's one hurdle out of the way. And I think particularly appropriate for today, for what has happened in the last few days, the reminder from Paul that God is not the perpetrator of evil things. God does not make bad things happen to bad people or to good people. Life happens, and Paul says, in the midst of all of the things that are happening, God will work good out of them. And that right now is probably the greatest message that our friends, not just on the Texas coast right now, but across the world, they need the message that God does not create evil. God does not stop evil. We are free, but God will use that for God's good. God's will is good and perfect, acceptable. It is the kind of will that will transform us from the inside out so that we, you and you and you and me and all of us together as the living body of Christ, if we will take those moments to be still, to be speechless, we will be transformed. Amen.
Let us stand together as we affirm our faith.
The prayers of our hearts, the prayers of our voices this morning have already been heard. We remember those who are on our prayer list this morning. Bill, the two Bettys. We give thanksgiving for Vicki and keep her in our prayers this week. And for all of those others that were not included as we were praying this morning for our brothers and sisters along the coast, I ask now that we enter just a silent moment of prayer and then be guided into a prayer that reminds us that that relationship takes us across the world. It takes us all the way to Guatemala. Each year we renew this covenant with them as a reminder that we support the mission and education work that our cluster does with them, and that we support the pastors and the mission and the ministry that they have in Guatemala to share the love of Christ. So, after a moment of silent prayer, I will invite us into our prayer together. Let us pray together.
Lord, our God, as priests of the believers, minister to all of us, we reaffirm our covenant of friendship with our brothers and sisters in Christ and our Father. Together we come to love one another through our mutual prayers, our love, and seeking ways to work together. All in the name of our Lord,
Mason, I'm going to invite you and all of the youth to come forward. And as they are doing that, just a reminder that we spent time together a few weekends ago reading Scripture, acting out Scripture, having fun with Scripture. And a whole lot of other serious kinds of things where we offered prayer for one another, prayer for this congregation in thanksgiving. But we also come to a time where, and most of these have already been confirmed, they are standing here in support of. We did some reaffirmation kinds of faithful things. But this morning, we want to confirm Mason. And I want to tell you, Mason, you are you're continuing in a journey of life, a journey that I will tell all of you. His parents, his church family, you have all... I would get them serious and then they would have fun. So, but you are coming to this time where you've made some decisions about your own faith journey. And the thing that I want you to remember is you're still not in this alone. Look at these. They're still walking right there with you. And look at this congregation. And yes, look at them. And each one of them, and I can tell you this as a pastor, each one of you is going to tell you that there's a right way to walk. And there's this way to do this and that way to do this. And you know what? They're all right. And they're all right because they want what is best for you. But even best for you, they want what is faithful. We all come at this Christian living with our own histories,
with our own makeups. What I want you to do, Mason, is to continue to be able to say, yes, I have learned, and yes, I believe, but you know what? This is what Mason believes, and you did that. He wrote a beautiful statement of faith and read it for our session this past, or I guess 2 weeks ago, and it was an affirmation that Mason does know that he is a child of God, and that he is loved, and that he is being called to continue to walk a faithful journey. And so, Mason, I am going to ask you these questions. Do you confirm your belief that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the one who died that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could start in a whole new relationship with God, a relationship that you started from the moment you were created and baptized, and that can you continue now? Do you believe that? And especially at this age, you are going to encounter all kinds of things as you are heading toward high school. There is evil in the world. But I'm going to ask you, Mason, do you promise to the best of your human ability to turn away from that evil and to continue to look toward the Lord for your guidance? And do you promise to actively participate and be responsible in the worship of the church, the life of the church, the study, the fellowship, the mission, and the ministry? Because you are now taking on a new role. You are now an active member. And they love the fact that they say, we can vote now. So you're being able to vote, and your vote will make a difference. And so do you promise to participate? Amen. Mason, you were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Today, we reaffirm that baptism. You are a beautiful child of God. Never mind. I'm not going to go with the water stuff. You all come around here and join. And if you all will join us in prayer. Gracious God, for the incredibly wonderful gifts that these young people have and the faith that they have, even in this world that wants to take it away from them, I am so very grateful. I give you thanksgiving, God, for each and every one of them, but today, particularly for Mason, who has promised, God, that the life that you have already given him is worthwhile, and that the mission and the ministry you have before him is something that he will do with joy. Thank you, God, for this congregation who has nurtured and loved and cared for him. Thank you, God, for his dad. Thank you for Becky and for Chad and for baby Hannah and all of the ways, God, that they make Mason's life much fuller. I ask now, God, your continued blessings upon him as he teaches us more about his faith. Amen. Thank you all. You all can give him a hug if you want to.
You're welcome. Okay, guys, don't hug.
Dogs got, oh. Guys don't hug. They just ride on hot dogs in the lake. Thank you all. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that whatever we find bound on the earth, we will find it is loosed in heaven. It is that freedom that God gives us to be generous, not only with our resources, but generous with our love. So may what we receive this morning be an overflowing example of our generosity of thanksgiving for what God has done, is doing, and continues to do. Amen.
we leave this place, may we go, each of us with our own lives, and all of us together with the life of Christ as his living body, his church. May we go out into the world knowing already that we have been made holy, that we are a living, breathing sacrifice, because God made us that way, good and acceptable. We have to choose to live that way. I pray that we choose to do so. And now may the love of God enfold you, may the peace of Christ surround you, and may the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.